I file in with the students this gray morning, amongst chatter of Christmas gifts and festive tunes about Santa and Frosty. Your classroom, a cold and almost unwelcoming space, and we grow quiet as we enter. Someone has tried to spruce the place up with a festive tree and lights in one corner. But along with the saturated color of the room, it looks out of place and sad. I take my place in the middle right of the room, my eyes flicking from my textbook over to your lithe form at the desk. You're hunched over slightly, writing something down quickly before class begins. You always do this before class. I wonder if it's notes, a shopping list, a love letter. I'll never know. I never go to your desk, but I continue watching you from mine, my cheeks flushing pink when I imagine you glancing up and meeting my gaze. But you never do. You see, sir, I've been watching you all semester. Watching the way that you glide around the room on your tall legs. The sound of your shoes on the floor as you weave through our desks. The feel of your jacket on my bare arm when you brush by. Sometimes I purposely stick my forearm out a bit, making the contact inevitable. I don't think you've noticed. I watch the way you talk to the lazy students with poorly veiled disinterest, your eyes vaguely hooded. I see the delight and attention you show to the students with promise, the ones who do their homework and answer every question you pose with gusto. I'm somewhere in the middle. Not the best, but most certainly not the worst. I'm like a passing breeze, inoffensive, though not always welcome. I am the eternal ghost in the classroom. I slip through your vision as you scan the sea of expectant faces. Like a gossamer web, your eyes don't quite pick out. As my peers whisper to one another, giggling and chatting, my gaze is drawn to the Christmas tree, a reminder of the upcoming winter break. I've been asked over and over what I want for Christmas. But isn't it obvious? I want you, my teacher. I want nothing more than to tell you of these feelings that have been stirring in my 18-year-old body since September, when your eyes fell on me during that first day and you read out the roll call. I don't know what it is, what it was. The way you said my name, the tone of your voice, the way you offered a gentle smile of welcome as I answered quietly. I'm still unsure months later what it was that ignited this spark in my belly. All I know was that the attraction bloomed. One-sided, of course. You're grown man, you wouldn't bother yourself with a schoolgirl. You're far too serious, too professional. Your taciturn countenance scares many, but perhaps that's your inherent appeal to me. You fascinate me, sir. Today's lesson is already a small din in the back of my mind as I watch you pace at the front of the room, demanding attention from the now quieting room. I see your sleeves rolled up to the elbow today and showcasing your toned forearms and large hands. I think of the Christmas card in my backpack, the one I spent forever trying to pick out at the grocery store. Which one would you like? Something funny? Sappy? Inspirational? In the end, I decided on a penguin-themed card that I thought would fit the bill. I spent hours poring over what I would say to you in it. Something cool and concise that would have you realize your long-dormant feelings for me. I knew it was a long shot. I knew it was stupid. And yet, I poured my heart out to you in that card. I told you of the stolen kisses I wish we could share, of the lust that seemed to seep from my very pores every minute I was around you, the delight I felt merely basking in the glow of your wisdom. I left some things out, of course, for propriety's sake. Things like how when I arrive at home and it's empty, I rush to my bedroom and slam the door behind me, my body thrumming with anticipation. I shimmy out of my school clothes, letting them fall to a heap at my feet before stepping out of them and into bed. I love the feeling of the sheets on my bare skin, my nipples already pebbling from the cool air and sensitive to the sheet as it falls over my breast. It's in my bed that you are mine. In my bed, you are alongside me. You aren't cold and unfeeling like you pretend to be in the classroom. You're warm and earnest. Your skin is smooth and welcoming. Your form bared completely for my scrutiny and delight. The lithe body that curls around mine, hugging me tightly. The long, hardened cock that waits to sate me. The tapered fingers that trail along the panes of my body with deft care and attention. As my own fingertips trail down my hip towards my inner thigh, it's your mouth I imagine trailing downward. Your teeth nipping slightly as you descend to the apex of my thighs. Your hot breath on my sides. In these moments, I am lost in your voice, your mouth delighting me in all manner of ways, your hands on either side of my legs, pushing them further apart as your tongue probes me below, causing me to shudder and quake. Before I can come, I imagine your weight on my body as you lower your hips to mine, entering slowly before quickly picking up speed. I can imagine your hands on my wrist, holding them above my head as you thrust into me, over, over, watching my breast bounce and my back arching. Those aching breasts into your welcoming mouth. And it's in this imagined erotic repose that I can come. Usually loudly, My eyes shut tightly and my mouth parted in desperate need for air. My body tingles from my head to my feet, causing me to buck furiously against my own hand, imagining it's your cock between my thighs. At this very moment in your classroom, I have a flashback to the most recent time alone in my bedroom. I feel my cheeks pinking slightly at the memory, my panties growing damp, and I squirm imperceptibly. I don't know how much time has passed before there's a small snicker that breaks me out of my reverie. My eyes come into focus in front of me, and suddenly you're there, looking down at me inscrutably. My heart jumps in my throat at your nearness, my face flushing at the proximity of your body to mine at my desk. Judging by the students' eyes on me and the silence that hangs, you've said something to me. Likely asked me a question, and I've just been staring into the distance like a fool. I know you're waiting, the anticipation obvious from your quirked eyebrow and slight incline of your head. But I haven't a clue what you've asked. Sorry, sir, I ask, my voice thick from disuse. Do you mind repeating the question? You give me a look of exasperation before turning and walking to the other side of the room, my body cooling without the heat of your body. You point to one of the other girls, the brightest one, and ask her for the answer I should have given. I feel my entire body prickling with shame. The rest of the class drags on, my mind no longer on you, but on the impossibly dull assignment you've given us for over winter break. There are several groans, but you ignore them. Finally, the bell rings, and we all rise, almost in unison. The chatter from before begins again, and you lower yourself into your chair, scribbling hurriedly into your notebook once more. I gather my books awkwardly, putting the Christmas card on top, crushing it between the book and my chest. The rest of the students have left, and so I inhale sharply, tucking a strand of hair behind my ear nervously and walking in what I hope is a casual manner past your desk. The envelope of the card is bright red, your name emblazoned on the front in gold script. I approach your desk, and you don't even look up. Your writing doesn't even slow. Do you even know that I'm there? My eyes on the ground and my legs shaking. My breath is surely coming out in a tremble. You continue to write hurriedly in your book, and a large part of me is not surprised when you ignore my presence. Without a second thought, I continue past your desk in embarrassment, dropping the Christmas card into your trash can without a glance backward. I feel the sting of tears in my eyes as I walk out the door. Merry Christmas, sir.